Welcome back to Latino USA. I'm Maria Hinojosa. Now, we've been talking about the history of authoritarianism in Argentina and how all of this affected just one family. But that story isn't limited to Argentina, and it's certainly not confined to the past. In Venezuela, there have been near daily protests against the government since April 1st of this year. Almost 100 people have died in those protests. And Venezuelans are suffering from high inflation, from food shortages, and from a soaring crime rate. Now, this week's episode of Latino USA's sister podcast, In the Thick, is actually all about the Venezuelan crisis. And so we wanted to share some of that episode with you here. And to start off, in the studio with me now is Julio Ricardo Varela, who is my co-host on In the Thick. Hey, Julio.
Hey, Maria.
Set us up. What's going on in Venezuela right now?
Basically, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, he wants to rewrite the Venezuelan constitution. He says it's a way to promote peace, but his opponents say it's a way to just prevent future elections.
And on Sunday, July 16th, there was a plebiscite in Venezuela.
Yeah, it was a big deal. 7 million Venezuelans, both inside the country and outside, voted, saying, no, you can't rewrite this constitution. Now, the plebiscite's not binding at all, so it's just a symbolic vote. The Maduro government considers it illegal, but to the opposition, this is a big symbolic victory. And to follow that up, there was a national strike in support of the opposition.
So before we get to the current crisis in Venezuela, let's take a step back. We need to contextualize this a bit. So help us out, Julio.
Venezuela, it was kind of like the pearl of Latin America. It was the richest country in Latin America, the strongest democracy. They got a lot of money from oil. But the wealth didn't necessarily trickle down to the working class.
And then this drove what some people call a socialist revolution led by Hugo Chavez. He gets elected in 1999, almost 20 years ago. And essentially, there are two ways in which people look at the Chavez era, right?
So the anti-Chavez crowd sees him as a typical populist caudillo dictator. But at the same time, from like 2004 to about 2014, poverty was being cut in half in Venezuela, even in the face of opposition from Venezuelan elites and the opposition that came from the United States. In 2013, Maduro was elected after Chavez died. But then what's happened is that the economy in Venezuela has worsened and criticisms of the government have just grown stronger.
Okay, so that helps us to understand kind of the basic context. Mm-hmm. We want to talk now about the current crisis, though. So in this clip from In the Thick, Julio and I are joined by Mariana Atencio, who's a national correspondent for NBC News, and by Juan Forero, who is the South America bureau chief from The Wall Street Journal.
Uno, dos, tres.
So Juan and Mariana, how did this constitutional referendum lead to the current crisis of massive protests every single day?
This referendum is seen by the opposition and by many as really a power grab. There's a National Assembly that is controlled by the opposition. The government has neutered that National Assembly. That Congress cannot pass any laws. It can't call any hearings.
Basically, the Supreme Court, which is loyal to Maduro, they try to strip this democratically elected Congress, opposition-led Congress, from power. And when that happened, even if Maduro later kind of backtracked, when this happened, people just took to the streets and said, I will not stand for this. He sort of wants to kind of consolidate a one-man rule after what we've been seeing.
Who's out on the streets? Is that wealthy Venezuelans who realize that they could be next in terms of dying because they don't have medical help? Is it poor Venezuelans who are just hungry? Who is out on the streets, Mariana?
Mainly you have the folks that have been protesting practically for the last 18 years, if you will, the middle and the upper middle class, the wealthy Venezuelans. However, as of late, because of the fact that people are going hungry, who does that hit the most? It hits the people in the poorest areas of Venezuela. So more and more, you've started to see lower class folks out on these protests. You hear the cacerolas, you know, the banging of the pots and pans. More and more, you're hearing it from the poorer neighborhoods.
I've been covering protests since 2001 in Venezuela. So I covered a lot of the opposition protests that were just huge way back when, and that was very sort of middle and upper middle class and so forth. I think that there has been a shift, and this isn't something new. I think you see a lot of university students. I think you see a lot of people on the left.
But here's the problem. Because the United States has a documented history of being involved with the opposition there's a case to be made, at least this is what the hardcore Maduristas are going to tell you, that maybe these policies that are coming from Maduro are in response to what is being perceived as a U.S.-led economic war against the interests of Venezuela and the Chavez legacy.
I think that's a false view. In the opposition, I think that you have right-wing politicians, you have left-wing politicians, you have far-left politicians, you have a range of people in there.
Is the current Venezuelan opposition movement, is it a progressive movement?
I think that the opposition has not very well articulated what it wants to do. But is it a progressive movement? I think there are a lot of people within the opposition that are very progressive.
I think that after 18 years of Chavismo in Venezuela, even though the opposition still has trouble articulating their agenda, I think they have learned that without el pueblo, without the people, no van para ningún lado. They're not going anywhere.
So someone like Leopoldo López, who is one of the main opposition leaders who's been imprisoned by the Maduro government, which the Maduro government claims he tried to institute a coup against the Maduro government. Is he a progressive? Or are we talking about the old right-wing elite of Venezuela sort of making a comeback?
I think it's come to terms with the fact that it has to include the people and it has to have a progressive agenda. The street protests that we're seeing now and the opposition's agenda at this point is also being pushed by this new generation of student leaders who are very different from sort of the Leopoldo López's. I think that shift in the agenda we're seeing right now.
That whole idea that the government is progressive, like that word. I mean, what is progressive about this government? I just don't...
That's not the point I'm making. I'm making the point about the opposition and whether there's too much focus on what Maduro, the Maduro government, is doing and not enough focus as to the composition of the opposition and whether it's a movement that's actually an organic will of the Venezuelan people.
I just think that at this point, though, it really, if it's progressive, the opposition, if it's not, I think they have wanted to include everyone. There's a lot of political parties here of different beliefs also. It's not one sole political party. It's not one sole opposition leader. I think the new blood, the students, the former students, as they've done a lot of good for the opposition as of late, but they're all united against this government that has really impoverished the country a great deal, that is killing people on national television, that has tanks running over protesters.
But the opposition has also led to, I mean, I don't think a lot of Americans know that people have died, like the National Guard got attacked and people have died under protest against the opposition. So
I think what we've seen, though, in the past 100 days, Julito, I think that there is absolutely no question that this government is a repressive government that is pushing one-man rule here and that is going to great lengths to protect itself.
Our thanks to Mariana Atencio and Juan Forero, and to my co-host, Julio Ricardo Varela. The rest of our conversation is available on our sister podcast, In the Thick, which is a show about race, culture, and politics from a POC perspective.